Crab Feast. You know what it's all about.
This is the Crab Feast. I'm yelling, fuck that. You ain't gotta ask me, cause you could trust that. Every Tuesday, you already knew though. Ryan Sickler, soccer star, JUCO. Above ground, cool goes, better than most. Jay Larson, self-diagnosed. Go down low this week, last week. Here we go again, fuck the Crab Feast.
Crab Feast for that.
Oh, you know what's interesting? I've
what
learned
that,
about pitch touching over all
that?
The times we've touched pitches. I couldn't. It was just right there, and I was like, "Let me just." I felt like I just did a half step drop, and boom, it was right there.
Mm-hmm.
That feels good.
It's
touch
very
pitch.
Interesting.
It's very interesting.
A lot of people don't know how good it feels to get their pitch touched.
You're missing out.
Missing out, player. Woo!
If you all carpool out there, I suggest you all start throwing the Crab Feast on in the carpool and everybody pitch touch together. I'll bet you it's a whole new vibe at work.
Good to see you, Jay
Good
Larson.
Good to be here. Good
Pinterest.
To be here with y'all. Feast Nation, I love you. Jay Larson here, jlarsoncomedy.com, Jay Larson Comedy on all social media. Big thanks to everybody that came out to the Improv Saturday night. It was great to see so many of you guys. I always love the support and always love having you out. If you are in San Francisco, I will be at Clusterfest this weekend doing shows Friday and Saturday night. And then on Monday the 5th, I'll be at the Hot Tub Show at the Virgil with our good friends Joel and Mandy.
Love them.
And then recording
Joel and Mandy.
This Is Not Happening on the 6th of June in Hollywood. I'll be posting where you can get tickets to that. And then back in Boston on the 21st of July, I'll be shooting a show for Showtime. And when I have more info for that, I'll get out to you. And then the following week, the 27th through the 30th of July, I'll be in Dublin at the Vodafone Comedy Festival. Ryan Sickler.
Ryan Sickler on all social media, ryansickler.com. You can go to my
official, babe.
That's right, Ryan Sickler official. Forget about the official. September 29 and 30, way down the road, I'm doing four shows at La Jolla Comedy Store. It's all I'm going to promote now because I'm going to record a new album, and that's all I really care to promote right now. Thecrabfeast.com is our website for all Crab Feast related information. You can get your merch there. Please do all of your Amazon shopping through our Amazon link, like we tell you every week.
And we appreciate all of y'all's that do's it.
That's right. It's huge. It's a huge help. The premium apps are there. And you can follow us on Crab Feast, Facebook, and Twitter.
One of our sponsors that we've had in the past, back again, Omaha Steaks. With Father's Day right around the corner, everybody knows dads love steak. And if you're looking for the perfect Father's Day gift, look no more. We have the perfect Father's Day gift. Let us tell you about Omaha Steaks and how this Father's Day, for only $49.99, the Jay Larson special, you can get our limited-time Father's Day package when you go to omahasteaks.com and enter CrabFeast in the search bar to apply the savings. I can say this as a dad for two reasons. One, when I got my package, I got it last week. We hadn't gone shopping yet, and Kate was like, what do you want to do for dinner? I'm like, I think I'm just going to do some steak, and I'll do some steak fries. And she goes, we don't have anything. And she started getting a little snappy. She's like, what are we going to do that with? And I go, I got Omaha Steaks, girl. And I made steak for Reed, and I made it medium rare. And Kate was like, that's a little rare, Jay. I'm like, the kid is mowing it down. And when he came home, he came in, and I just given him steak the week before, first time. And he comes in, and I go, hey, bud, I go, guess what we're having for dinner? And he goes, what? And I go, steak. And he goes, oh, thank you, Daddy. And I was like, oh, man.
He's tasting that blood. Man.
Oh, excited. But I mean, literally at Omaha Steaks, they have so much to offer. It's not just steak.
Make room in your freezer. I'm telling you.
I know. Seafood, poultry. And that, you know what? That same night when I cooked those steaks, we had those little apple dumpling things that you get. And I had them going because they take 20 minutes in the toaster oven. So halfway through dinner, I go out and I pop them in. And he goes, what are you doing, Daddy? I go, I got a treat for everybody. And everyone got their own beanie. Mout it. The great thing, they have vegetables, they have desserts, highest quality cuts, one of a kind flavor, convenient, age 21 days. It's the best you can get. And right now, Omaha Steaks is giving a limited time offer to our listeners for Father's Day. I'm going to stress that because it's a ridiculous deal for 80% off of the package that I'm about to tell you about. This is what the Father's
Day... You're paying the tax! You're paying the tax, basically.
This is what the Father's Day package includes. Two tender filet mignons, two bold beefy top sirloins, four crispy chicken fried steaks, four juicy boneless pork chops, four all-beef Omaha steak burgers, four award-winning gourmet jumbo franks. I'm going to tell you this. I make hot dogs for the kids a lot. These franks, dope. They killed. Something to think about. 12 ounces of all-beef meatballs, 1 pound of steakhouse fries, four made from scratch caramel apple tartlets. Those are what I was talking about. Those tartlets are unbelievable. One Omaha Steak seasoning packet plus get four additional burgers free. Again, limited time offer, $49.99. Go to omahasteaks.com and type Crab Feast in the search bar to add Father's Day package to your cart.
Buying tickets to sports and concerts can be complicated, but there is a better, simpler way to buy with SeatGeek. SeatGeek is the smartest, easiest way to get tickets to live events. With SeatGeek's seamless mobile experience, you can buy and sell tickets in just two taps. Tap, tap. SeatGeek helps you find the best seats at the best prices, fully guaranteed. There's nothing quite like seeing your favorite team or musician in person or comedian in SeatGeek. You can get it all there, and they will get you closer to the action for a great value. I tell you about it all the time, Tap, Tap. I have the SeatGeek app on my phone. It's by far the easiest way I've ever found to shop for tickets. I could be anywhere, and just with a few taps, tap, tap, I can instantly find seats. I actually just use SeatGeek. I told you about it before. I use it to go to the Bullets game. Remember I told you? I was like, I'm going to do this right now.
Wizards, and then, boom,
I said, God, I can't. That's unbelievable.
Yeah.
Like, that's a sickness that I can't say Wizards.
Well,
I don't
you
know
grew up knowing that they were the Bullets.
Still, it doesn't matter. And then for the Caps game, when I went out there to see him here, I used the SeatGeek app. I got some great seats.
That's amazing. I mean, that's great that you can, just a place you know you can go see, like, your hometown teams in town.
Yep.
It's great.
I'll do it when the Orioles are out here in Anaheim. SeatGeek saves you time and money by searching multiple ticket sites to compare prices and find amazing deals. And to get the most bang for your buck, SeatGeek grades every ticket based on value to help you immediately identify the best seats to fit your budget. Plus, every purchase is fully guaranteed, so if you can shop for tickets on SeatGeek with confidence, you can make SeatGeek your go-to app for finding the best deals on every type of ticket from sports and concerts to comedy and theater. What did I tell you? Best of all, our listeners get $20 off your first SeatGeek purchase.
That's great.
That's a big-time deal. Just download the SeatGeek app and enter promo code CRAB, C-R-A-B, today. That's promo code CRAB for $20 off your first SeatGeek purchase.
Go get it. You don't need a promo code for this week's app. And we're excited to have her on the podcast. Very funny comic. We've known for a long time. Glad to have her on. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Miss Emily Maya Mills.
Sounded like you said lettuce and gentlemen. But hey, man, lettuce, ladies and gentlemen.
Ooh, getting that arugula.
Feasting here.
Emily
I like it.
It's an honor. Emily and I did a great show called Story Poker.
It was a great show. A couple times over.
We did twice together, and Emily took one title home. I took the other.
It's true. I did leave that day, text my friend from high school, and say, I just beat Jakob Smirnoff in a storytelling contest.
You did.
It's true.
He
and
was
I
there?
Voted for you.
Yeah.
He was there.
That's
yeah.
all I could do with that information was text my friend from high school.
He was there, yeah.
That's so funny. It's like Al Madrigal uses his name as like a punchline in his special.
He was a very sweet man. He was a very
super
sweet man.
He kills
smart.
It. Very nice.
Do you know he's getting a PhD in mental health?
Is he really?
You know he's been doing that bit for years.
What?
He's been doing that bit for years.
No, he told me privately outside.
That's a bit.
Was it a bit? Was it a bit?
It's a bit.
Oh, no.
Now I'm teasing. I don't know. Who knows?
Well, before we get into some of your championship stories, will you please promote your social media, anything you'd like, dates, whatever.
I'm at Emily Maya Mills everywhere. So that's at Emily Maya Mills on Twitter, Instagram. That's my...
Pinterest?
Probably, actually. I'm not that frequent on there. I just started planning a wedding, so I'm new to it. I'm emilymayamills.com. And I got an album on iTunes called By a Thread. It's on a Special Thing Records.
By a Thread. That's a great
title. I like
title.
That.
Thank you. Thank you. I was glad to know you guys both bought it and heard it.
Yeah.
I mean,
it's all the way over.
I bought it and I couldn't get through it. But.
Could you imagine? That's something like an aunt will say. I just want to let you know I'm proud of you for the album. I couldn't get through it.
My stepmom did once say to me, like, we know, we wonder sometimes if we'd think you were funny.
Like, I wonder if we'd think,
like, if they were to come to the show, if they'd like it.
Because they've never been to see you?
No, they have since, but at the time it was a little bit like they were like, we liked Louis C.K., but then he talked about his balls so much, and they were off board. So they just kind of felt like our generation was too vulgar.
Yeah.
Oh, I probably was. They talked about all kinds of shit. They came to the album taping, actually. They're in the audience.
Oh, that's cool. Where'd you tape it?
UCB Franklin.
Oh, no. I love that room.
Me too. It's a good one. It's dreamy.
You wanted to give a Twitter shout out. I don't think anybody's done their dad yet. No. Other people have done wives, but no one's done a dad.
I really wonder what's going to happen to his mind. He might lose it completely.
You say that.
He might lose
it. Does he just follow along? Is that why he's out there?
He started it, and then he started it at Twitter and Facebook, and then got real paranoid and kind of backed off of the Facebook because he's like he's a computer guy, and he's like a PC guy, and he just was like, they're going to get me.
Politically correct or... IBM.
Or both.
IBM. In fact, his dad was an IBM man, but he does have the notifications on his phone, apparently.
Also, it'll pop an alert on his phone.
Off.
What's his Twitter handle?
I guess it's Bruce G. Mills. You gotta look him up. General Mills.
My father-in-law worked at General Mills his whole life.
Did he?
Oh, that's right. That's right.
If he'll come to the house and he sees Cheerios, he goes, that's it. Keep my pension going. Nice work, you guys.
Oh, my God. That's too cute.
Yeah. He loves to give props to G. Mills.
Fun story. When I was little, I thought that General Mills was my grandpa.
Like his dad, his first name was General?
Yeah, he was in the Navy, and I just didn't, you know, I didn't get ranking and all that. So I just thought General Mills was my grandpa.
That's baller.
For sure. I did.
He always had granola bars and shit.
Yeah, it's Bruce G. Mills. You know what?
Tough
you know
time
what I said?
English language. Now here I go.
What do you think I said?
Granola bottles. That's what it sounded like.
No, well, you were listening.
I had granola bottles. I did. You know what his handle is? It's XQZFDG.
He doesn't want anyone to find his name.
Jesus. Well, guess what, sucker?
Say it again.
XQYZFDG. You'll find Bruce Gregory Mills at that.
Hit him
Bruce
up.
G. Mills. What'd you call him when you were kids?
We called him Dad or Pop. I call him Pops. I still do, but my sometimes we call him Pappy Smurf. I don't know why.
Oh, hit up Pappy Smurf out there,
Smurf,
baby.
Y'all.
But when my brother was little, he used to call him Brucey, and he's like 6'2", and we'd like come into the nursery school, and they'd be like, that's Brucey.
He's like, yeah. Brucey. Control Alt Delete. That's all I can say to you.
So just talking to you before, well, I did the show with you, obviously, and you said you were from San Francisco, but you were born in a house? Is that right?
Yeah.
In home birth?
Home birth all over the
And have
living
you talked
room.
To your parents about that?
About
and
the
what
trauma?
That was like? Yeah.
Yeah,
I mean...
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I do...
So it's not that long ago. You're young, so it's not like this was in the fucking 60s or 50s.
No, it was traumatic. I think it was... I like to think it was something like a reverse Saw movie. Like, you just... It's a horror... It's a horror show all over your living room. You can't get it out of the woodwork. It's everywhere.
And there was no tarp or anything?
Tarp.
You knew it was coming. It's not like you didn't have time to prep.
Tarp. There,
you know, the new thing is kiddie pools for the
Yeah,
for the
or
home
tubs.
Movies.
You know, but guess what? Like, my friends were like, oh, we're going to have a home birth. We're doing a home birth. I'm like, oh, that's great. Like, oh, that's the only way we could do it. And then, like, it became a thing. And then guess what? A week before, they were like, yeah, you got to have this at a hospital.
Yeah.
If something goes wrong, you could die and the baby could die. And they were like, okay, where do we go?
Yeah. Going through.
I want an epidural.
Yeah. Going through all that, we had friends that were like, I'm doing natural childbirth. And I was like, hey, you know, I support. I was like, that's great. That's great. But here's the
you
truth.
You support it.
I support whatever you want. I think it's fucking crazy.
Mm-hmm.
But the truth is, you're having that baby, however that baby wants you to be had. That's it.
Yeah, if that's
it's,
well
if it's,
said.
If
simple.
It's fucking, if
Pretty
it inverts,
sure.
if
yeah.
it's anything, yep. it's
Listen,
it's
if
coming.
It, if it inverts, you gotta be heads up.
You gotta be ready.
It's invert!
You know who's ready for that.
That baby will
have... The nurses have straight up baseball gloves ready, catcher's mitts. Like, why would you do it?
Hey! Bah, 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 bah. That's
Why risk it? My parents' friends were always, they were all hippies, so they were always having, they were having babies in front of all of us. They'd just be like, everybody come, we're having a baby.
Really? You know, it was like a watch party?
Yeah. Oh, I have pictures of me and a bunch of other kids around a bed with a lady.
So obviously, it was natural, no epidural.
No epidural.
Would, you know, how could you? When your other girlfriend, hippie girlfriends are showing up with their granola mix, you fucking goat's milk.
Granola bottles, you, bringing those over.
Granola Everybody's wasted. General Mills in the corner.
You got macrame granola bottles?
You had to fucking just be like, fucking, she was probably doing it natural to spite her girlfriends are in the room. Like, I mean, it's for you, Sally. You don't get your man. Fucking bitch.
At this point, it's true. My mom was waiting in a like one of those like wood paneled hot tubs, like and waiting for the doctor to come, waiting, kind of just like ready for it to
people
be.
People playing music and shit.
People playing. My brother is like 3 and just like massaging her.
And did they do it underwater?
They didn't do it underwater. Somehow they got out first. But I wish I was born in the hot tub because I just feel like, fuck, I'd be so confident, you know?
Just warm you up right away and come out.
Just be like, pop.
That's
supposed
to be.
It's behind my head.
I was born here.
It's supposed to be like one of the most. I don't know how it's natural, but one of the maybe it's either the best or the most natural. There's a hospital in Baltimore called Mercy, and they were the first one. I believe they were one of or the first hospital in the U.S. to do the underwater birds. And I watched this whole discovery.
Underwater birds, huh?
Yeah, man. Underwater
birds.
And
they do
birds.
Those birds underwater.
You don't think there were some Pequot or Quechua doing some underwater?
Who?
The Pequots, dog. You know what? It just so happens we got some neighbors next door. Hey, Quechua!
Quechua's a big one. Get your ass in here. Bring,
so
your,
much
bring
I
your water, babies.
I like, what up?
Maybe, probably, there's someone always out there has done something. But here's what I have to ask. So how many children did your mom have?
2.
And both of you were natural?
No, my brother was born in a hospital. He was first.
Really? Mm-hmm. So they went the other way.
We didn't like how it went.
I think she probably was trying to like keep up with the Joneses, but the Joneses were other hippie ladies named Emily, and I was named after them.
What a time it used to be. You'd be born in a home, and then you would die in the home, and then you'd be laid out in the home.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Remember that?
I think
I went and saw my great-grandmom in Tyrone, Pennsylvania, in the parlor, laid out in a coffin in the house. I remember that being, I was like very little, 5-ish maybe, and I was like, this is fucking weird.
I remember killing my grandfather.
Oh, shit.
We were real old school.
Real old school, yeah. You got a lock of his hair you kept it in your pocket.
He needs somebody put him out of his misery, would you?
You just did it with a pillow out of kindness?
Yeah, well, I'm saying, you know, that's what they do up in Seattle, right?
Yeah, that's what they do.
Isn't that the only place that is legal to euthanasia?
Right now, yeah.
In the U.S.?
Outside of Asia.
Where
euthanasia
is.
I feel like Amsterdam and like... You know,
well, can't you do in Amsterdam,
Norway, and those sort of countries that are, you know, way ahead
just
of us?
Just throw Norway in there.
I'm pretty sure Norway is allowed.
Whatever
to.
About that
sounds
it.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah. They also know how to take responsibility for it. That and their drugs, their recreational drug use. They're just like, we know how to be responsible.
Right.
Yeah.
Are you close with your mom?
Yeah.
Yeah. And dad?
Yeah.
Are they just still together?
No.
God,
no, they haven't exchanged words in 20 years.
Nothing, huh? Now, are they coming to the wedding together?
Yeah.
So this will be
together?
They'll be there at the same time?
Yeah.
This will be the first time for anything?
I mean, 20 years they haven't talked, they don't see each other, nothing?
No, there was my brother's wedding and that didn't go very well. I mean, it was just weird. It was weird, you know?
What do you mean
like,
it didn't go well? What
like
he's
there
just
was
like,
some...
Fucking bitch!
There was some...
Still got the stains on the fucking couch.
That was your idea. They did like run into each other on the pier. I think we were in Oakland for my brother's wedding. And my brother's best friend since kindergarten, Chuck Matsui, was like, there was like an arrival of the forces in the middle. And we were all walking in different directions. And there was like a, hello, how are you? That was... It.
And that was the first time in 20 years?
That was like first time in like at the time 12 or 15 years.
That's a long time.
It's a long time.
How old were you?
Chuck Matsui goes, really? 23 years of marriage? That's what it is?
Wait, they were together for 23 years?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's an incredibly long time.
Yeah.
And then to go a dozen years without speaking and then that's the first interaction?
Yeah.
Wait, how old were you when they divorced?
I was like... just out of high school.
Oh, okay. So they didn't have to be around each other.
Yeah. They were trying to hang out. But that was the other weird shit was that my brother had already gone to college and we were in the house and they didn't talk for 3 years then.
In the house.
In the house.
sleeping
and people
separate
would
rooms
come in. Yeah, people would come over and be like, "Who sleeps on the couch in
still
the
fuck.
Kitchen?"
That's just where we deliver babies. Nobody sleeps there.
Blindfolded. Yeah, people would be like, "Who sleeps on the couch?" And the couch was in the kitchen. It was like a real weird layout. And I'm like, "My dad, whose dad doesn't sleep on the couch?" Like,
that's the thing. We talk about it all the time. Like, shit is normal in your life until you step outside of your world and go to other people's worlds. Yeah. Like, wait a second, your dad doesn't sleep on the couch in the kitchen?
Yeah, your dad doesn't.
Nah. Nah, he doesn't.
Where does your dad sleep? He sleeps in the car because that's the other place where he sleeps. He sometimes sleeps in the car and sometimes sleeps in the kitchen.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
And you guys didn't think any, I mean, you must have known what was going on, right?
Yeah. I mean, we definitely, I will say they didn't really particularly seem happy in my lifetime. I used to think that maybe my brother saw some good years, but I didn't really remember any in particular. And they, you know, my mother would argue like, that's not true. We had good time. We were very in love. And it's, I'm sure they were. I just don't remember of it.
Yeah.
Any of it.
My cousin,
you know, we'll end that. This is a comedy podcast.
It is. We go deep sometimes, a lot of times actually, but we'll make fun of that deepness.
No, it's we were talking about the other day. I think we had someone on. We were talking about, but like, my parents separated when I was two, and I was the youngest of four. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And I'm just like, what was going on that you didn't? There was no conversation before me to be like, hey, should we be doing this?
Yeah.
And it's so funny. I told this woman the other day who I was meeting with, one time my sister, who's the oldest, said to me, she goes, you know, one time mom told me I was the only one conceived out of love.
Oh my goodness.
The rest of us were just like, maybe we could get this thing together.
Yeah, that's crazy.
But I mean, it is crazy how everyone looks at it a different way. Maybe I'll be happier without them, and then it's going to affect, what's going to affect the kids, what's not going to affect the kids. People stay together for, you know, whatever reason, or obviously they were together, but not. They should have just fucking bounced.
I agree. Jeez. Because that, it didn't make sense. By then, it's like, it's for the kids. What a mess you've made. This is a mess.
Yeah.
I mean, for the kids, you're not doing me any
favors.
The birth
alone was a fucking mess.
it was me.
I'm gonna make a scrambled egg. Well, dad's snoring, man.
My cousin had his daughter was born in the house, but by accident. They were having a baby, and this was her second child. He had a stepson with her, and he was probably 8 to 10, her son. Mm-hmm. And she was like, I'm having this baby. I know it. So he takes her up to, and he's almost 90% deaf. They live in a little row house in the Baltimore city. So he has to go.
What do you think he is, like 88%?
He's about 89. He has to go around back to the alley to get the car. And then everything's one way. So he's got to come back around. So he gets her, he puts her in the car. They go up to the hospital. And they're like, that comes into play later. So,
are you said it right?
Hey, what, bitch, I'm almost 90% down.
He's got a t-shirt that says that. Does he? Almost 90% down.
Almost 90%.
So they take her up to the hospital, and they're like, you're not actually having this baby. It's pregnancy, you know, pains or whatever, labor pains, but you're fine. You can go home. And she's like, I've had a child before. I know I'm having this baby. They're like, you're not having this baby. She goes home. She says,
what
it again.
Did they say?
Says it again.
Are you having?
I'm having this baby. And he doesn't hear it. And she's like, she's yelling, Gary. So he.
Turn around.
Same routine again. Takes her back up to the hospital. It's only a couple miles from their home. You're not having this baby. You know, you're welcome to stay here if you'd like, but, you know, you're not having the baby.
Here on a bike.
We can run tests, all that shit. And
we're
she's
gonna
like,
need you to go home where no one can hear you scream.
That's what they basically said. And she's like, well, I'm not paying to stay in a hospital if you really are telling me your medical opinion is I'm not having a baby. So they go home. She calls her sister over. And at this point, they're all in the house. My deaf cousin's way in the back. Almost deaf. And she says again, I'm having this baby. And she lifts her dress up and her sister looks and she's crowning. On their couch, her son sees it, passes the fuck out.
How old
drops.
Is he?
He's like 8 to 10. He drops. Okay, he sees it. And
wait,
passes
he's
the
been
fuck
driving her back and forth to the hospital. The 10-year-old?
No, my cousin, son,
Gary. Oh, got it.
Her first child,
got it.
Is why she knew she was having a baby because she's like, I've done this before.
Right.
I know what's going
I know
on.
The feeling.
So they're screaming for Gary, like Gary. He doesn't hear shit. She's crowning, so her sister calls 911, but the baby's coming. And the ambulance is now on his way. He comes out to start, like, what's going on? And boom,
he's got
there's a head coming out of her vagina. This kid's fucking knocked out on the floor. Her sister's looking around like, what the fuck? They're bringing the baby out. The paramedics get there. They finish the delivery.
The baby's like a little hamburger helper man. They're like, it wasn't a baby. We told you it wasn't a baby. You weren't having a baby.
So they finish the birth, put her on a gurney, and then, you know, this is a little block in Baltimore, and there's an ambulance on it. Oprah Winfrey might as well be fucking walking down the street. Everyone's out watching. God. They take her up. And they she tried to sue and everything, but they said she didn't have a fucking case. And she's like, I was up here twice and ended up having basically the baby in the house. I was like,
I wonder what
you guys do with that fucking couch, man?
If their defense
Every time
is
I go
like,
over, I'm like, you guys get a new couch? Because I don't want to fucking sit. I'll sit on the floor.
That's
man.
The thing. Yeah. It soaks.
Time, tarp.
It soaks up.
Seventh inning. They're dragging it out. Fucking rain showers in the area.
You guys ever seen a baby be born? You have.
Yeah,
yeah,
mine.
You both have. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I haven't. Have. No, mine were both C-section.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, does it still smell? Interesting.
Nothing smelled.
I don't remember the smell.
Really?
I mean, medical, but nothing really smelled. The one thing that blew me away that I did see was her water broke. But, I mean, it looked like there was someone inside her vagina who took a bucket and threw it out. It hit the doctor and the nurse in the chest, and even they both went, whoa. I mean, it was like a tidal wave, but I was like, what the fuck? It bounced off their chest, and they even looked at each other. I was like, holy shit.
Stella comes out surfing.
And they're just straight, you know. She's like, I'm getting ready to go do another one after this. I just did one before this. And I'm like, holy fuck.
Damn.
Once you get
that's
it down.
That's why you stay in the hot tub.
Yeah.
I did see a baby be born. My friend had a baby when I was in 11th grade. I came after the winter ball and watched her have a baby. And I do remember that it smelled real bad when I walked in. It was very intense.
But you're big
but
in the
I
smell.
Was also stoned. Yeah?
You were stoned when
just
you went
a little bit stoned. I was a little bit stoned. I was 16.
This is so crazy.
Yeah.
That was it. I walked into the hospital and my two best friends, we were all friends from middle school. They were just running around with they had a wheelchair and a bunch, they're all dressed in scrubs. They're just
what are you
running
fucking living
around.
Juno?
It was before Juno. And Juno bit the reality that was real.
Oh, yeah. The real reality.
I mean, it was very accurate to what was going on.
That's crazy.
It was pretty silly.
Well, you've got a laundry list of stories here, and you know we usually like to try to have some sort of flow, but for you, fuck that. Let's
have a flow.
I would love to hear this story about the DMV.
Oh yeah, when I ended up the story goes back to when I graduated from high school. My mom and I were at odds at the time. Clearly, my parents were not having a great time with their relationship.
You don't like it? Go sleep with your father and the kid. I'll be sleeping in the bed.
You can go get your own apartment. That is basically what went down. It's like there was just such poor communication. Everybody was in pain. Everybody was fucked up. Everybody was sad. And I wasn't planning on going to college immediately, or I was at least trying to bob and weave, and I was going to a JC in Santa Monica.
Nothing wrong with
JUCO,
girl. Nothing wrong with JUCO.
Nothing wrong with it.
What, Santa Monica College?
It was College of San Mateo, outside of San Francisco.
Oh.
And so I got an apartment. I was like, I got this apartment down in Lower Haight before the revitalization of San
Francisco.
I was just
about to ask you, as a college kid, were you able to afford an apartment back then in that area? Because now I feel like it's just...
We moved into that apartment day one, and our friend came over, and it was the type of thing where you had to throw the keys over the balcony, and we start hearing just all this yelling. And our friend came up, he's like, oh, this is a fucking hostro. This is like a crackhead hooker stroll where you, if you have $5, you can get a hooker on this corner. And we were like, okay, so this is the next year of our life. And that is where I lived. But I was so already into adult independence. I was 17. I did borrow a fake birth certificate from a stripper to go to the DMV so that I could get... an ID, a real one. I mean, how bad is all of this? To be 21 so I could buy my own alcohol. I'm just basically have freedom as an adult. Be able to really go go to raves and shit.
Yeah. Yeah, stripper. You wanted freedom.
A stripper gave you her birth certificate.
Her fake one that allowed her to strip at 18 or whatever it was.
Oh, good.
She's like, listen, or pre-18.
Now, hustler.
A girl gave me this. I could strip. I'm going to give a DMV.
Exactly.
Pay for a girl.
I borrowed this.
Do you remember her name or the name?
The name on it was Tara Miller. And I feel like I've told this story enough. I'm like, is there a statute of limitations or is there a recourse?
You know who we can ask right now?
Tara Miller.
Tara Miller, get her! Sit here, Tara.
I thought you guys were both going to be like, James Comey.
He's free.
He's free. He's available. He's got some info.
So you're not, are you scared to do, like when you go in, oh, do you have anxiety about this?
Well, yeah. And the other
She's
thing
an
was,
adult now, man.
17.
I was an adult. I was so scared, but I also had flown from, I'd visited my grandparents over Christmas and I had flown and I'd been sick and my ears hadn't popped from the plane. And I also lived with drug dealers, essentially. My roommates were both weed dealers. And so my best
friend. Wasn't that standard in like the Hague?
Yeah, absolutely. It was like our apartment was all Section 8 and then these two like white boy weed dealers, with one of them had a dog that was half bull mastiff and half pit bull. So
did one of them
like
have dreads?
7 foot tall but pit bull. No one had dreads.
Felt like one of them might have.
No, close, but no. They just mostly like Giants hats and Niners gear and that kind of thing. So I haven't popped from the plane. My friend Laura, who's coming with me, and her boyfriend at the time, and my other friend Michelle's boyfriend, for whatever, we just been friends since we were like 13. They all come over. We get in my Hyundai Excel.
What's up, girl?
Great car. Great car. Back then, worst crash car on the road.
Really?
It was. Early on, like the 80s, late 80s, early 90s.
Yeah, this was kind of late 90s.
Oh, it might have been better then.
My buddy had one.
It was
one.
Just over the hump of the 90s.
He used to have to start it with a screwdriver.
Yeah.
Like the key was gone. Like I think someone tried to steal it, so then he had to use a screwdriver to start it.
Yeah, my Acura that got stolen so many times, eventually I called and I was like, so my Acura got stolen again. And the woman on the insurance company phone was like, oh yeah, those can be stolen with a paperclip.
We're going to come back to that shit.
Oh yeah. So they all come over. There's an immense amount of weed. I was never really good at handling weed. Like I was a huge part of the culture of San Francisco, of growing up there, but I was never very good at it. But I would always try to hang, but I wasn't good at it. So it was like this morning smoke. Everyone smoked a joint. My ears haven't popped. I'm not that good at being stoned in the first place. I'm taking a fake birth certificate into the DMV.
It's already been used before.
Yeah.
Already been used before.
Pretty sure I had a lap dance
for whatever reason. Yeah, yeah. All my friends are in line with me every step of the way, and this is like Eric, who was the dad of the girl whose baby was born when I was in 11th grade. You
oh
know,
my
it's
God,
like,
yeah.
And Jonas and I get up to the right as I get to the desk, and I've filled out my paperwork, and I hand it to the guy, and they're all standing there, and he's looking at it, and he's flipping it over, back and forth, just like feeling the paper. And then right as he's doing that, I look over and Jonas looks at me, and in complete slow motion, or at least it feels that way to me, he's like, they're going to take your thumbprint.
Oh my God.
And I was like, he tried to say it on the down low, and I went, shoo, and fell out and passed out on the floor.
You passed
out? You did?
Out?
Yeah. I fainted.
She's like your cousin's kid, man.
Yep.
Yep. Fainted on the floor, and I had never fainted before. So
I've always wanted to faint.
Me too. And it worked.
By the way, I asked them what they told their kid when he came to. And she said, we told him this is what happens when you kiss girls. And I was like, you just ruined that fucking kid.
What?
Yeah, that's what he thinks is going to happen every time he kisses a girl. He's never touching
women.
Where
did they even get that? Had he kissed a girl? Why'd they throw it in there? That's hilarious. Oh, the baby. I thought
yeah,
you
baby,
meant like
no.
You pass out and when you wake up, like a pumpkin exploded and there's...
Mm-mm.
All right,
so you're on the floor in the DMV.
I'm on the floor in the DMV. I come to, everyone's standing over me. They're picking me up. There's a DMV manager screaming, get her a candy cane!
Get her a candy cane!
Oh, he thought you were diabetic.
Yeah.
Was it near Christmas?
It's
why would
beginning
I was gonna
to
say,
look a lot.
Why yeah. The fuck would you just randomly yell candy cane?
He was screaming it like he was sweating, screaming it across the DMV. Get her a candy cane! They all stand me up. Laura's by my side and I'm like, Laura, they're going to get me. That's what I kept saying to her. I was like, they're going to get me. They're going to get me. And she goes, stop tripping up. Stop tripping. And then they dragged me over to the photograph booth and they all just held me up and cut the line and stuck me in front of the picture.
They propped you up for the picture?
She's an epileptic! Did you see?
Took my white, ghost white picture at the age of 17, sat me down.
And what was the girl's name again?
Tara
my
Miller?
Friend,
yeah.
Tara
the
Miller.
Fake name.
The fake name was Tara Miller.
Miller, okay. I'm thinking Mills only because your last name is Mills. I'm
yeah,
like, what
it was
a
pretty close.
It was pretty damn close.
It was pretty close. And
so you get the picture taken?
I get the picture taken. They take me over. They sit me down. The candy cane comes. The guy's
candy
like...
Candy cane still got there. The tutti frutti kind?
Trust me.
Straight up. Straight up. And the manager's like, are you okay? What's going on? And they're all freaking out. And all my friends are like, no, she's fine. She's fine. Thanks for the picture. Okay, we're going to go. And they drag me out to put me in the car. By now, Eric's driving the Acura. I mean, the Hyundai. As we're pulling out, we're like, we're fine. I'm fine. You hear, woo, and the paramedics are pulling into the parking lot. And we're like, go, go, go. Pulling out, and we're all trying to yell at Eric.
Damn jurisdiction, get out of here.
We're trying to yell at Eric to run, pull out of the parking lot. And then all of a sudden he goes, dude, why are we running from the paramedics? So he
pulled
out.
Those people don't care about anything. They don't care. You could have 9 heroin needles sticking out of your arm. We're just here to help. But wait, real quick, did you get the ID?
Yeah, he pulls out, he pulls back
in. So they gave you, took your picture and you got the card.
No. What happened then is we pull out, we pull back in, the paramedics come up to us and they're like, are you okay? And we're like, I'm just sick. And they're like, okay, bye. That's exactly what happened. 2 weeks later in the mail, I got my Tara Miller ID.
Boom.
Ghost face, white face.
Do you still have it?
No, I think I gate. I probably lost it. I might have given it to you.
The stripper probably asked for it back. Like, listen, can I get that too?
Can I get that? Can I sell it for $7,000?
And then you just hauled ass out of there.
Yeah, we got out of there. I mean, we pulled back around to like just be like, hi, we're not running from you. And they were like, okay.
You mentioned your Acura. So my daughter's mother's had an Acura. Her car was just stolen. Just so old school. But the neighbors next to her, they parked tandem. Mm-hmm. So I guess just a bunch of hoods were coming through and checking door handles to see what was open.
They do in my neighborhood, yeah.
And there, my old neighbor had gone down and burned one and forgot to lock his door. And they popped his door handle and they're like, oh, boom. So they see the key to his wife's car in front of him. So they open her car and then they see the key to his car and they're like, stole both cars at 5:30 in the morning. Now, they have OnStar, so they located it pretty quickly. They took it to the specific location downtown, and they told them, got about a 30-minute window here before, if we don't show up, they'll take off, and you'll never see that fucking car again. So they got down there. They got both their cars back.
What
no
kind
problem.
Of? What do you mean specific location? Like a chop shop kind of place?
No, like this. I don't really know, but it's like there's this overpass down there, and they'll just park it and leave it, and they'll get away from it for a while, and then if it's still there when they come back in a half hour, an hour, then they already have the key. They just drive it away, and they know that they're good to go. So, but while they were there, they had rattled my daughter's mother's door handle. It was broken, the back one, so they got in her car. And they must have somehow, they either know how to hotwire or whatever, or they, you know, some of them can make like a little core enough just to turn your ignition.
Yeah.
Ignite, 2 weeks later, they come back and my daughter's going to school in the morning and she's only 2. And she walked down, she goes, where's your car, mommy? And boom, they get it. So she calls the police and they're like, they told her, what do they call that little, I didn't even know that little area of Santa Monica had a name, like Sunset Park or some shit like that. Mm-hmm. They said there was something like 30 cars stolen in the last like couple of weeks. Like it's just,
I believe it.
Gone. Yeah. Well, you've had the home invasion shit going on in your neighborhood too.
This is my neighborhood.
Yeah.
Right here. And it's just like, you know, you forget you live in LA and you live in these, like we live both in like these quaint little neighborhoods. I live in a quaint neighborhood and there are home invasions on the reg because Venice Boulevard's right here. The 10's right there. The 405's right there.
South LA is down there.
Yeah. Like, there's like all these little areas and they just come through. Like guys come through our neighborhood all the time. Like, how many times I've gone out to my car and the whole thing like has been rummaged through because they're just looking for money.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Like they do that in our neighborhood. Then there's like break-ins on our street, like on our block.
But I tell people all the time, you don't rob the shitty homes. You know, if you're going to rob someone, you go rob people to have something nice,
yeah,
you know?
Yeah, sure.
Exactly.
But they found her car.
Listen, the guy's sleeping in the kitchen, you just walk away, you know?
She said, like this poor son of a bitch here. She said, I'm pretty sure the people that stole my neighbor's car did this, and this is where they took it. And they're like, we're never going to find it, they tell her. So they end up finding it in that exact location. And then they're like, well, we've got it at the impound yard. You need to come and see it. So they have her come all the way down there, and they make her wait for like 4 hours. And by this point, it's dark, so she can't see the damage or not on this car. And they end up totaling it. and giving her just like a shitty buyout because it was an older car, and mm-hmm. then she had to go get a new car. But they've been stealing them left and fucking run. Acuras, Toyotas.
Why don't the cops just go hang out at that overpass undercover and just wait?
Yeah, that's a good point. Because honestly, they don't care.
Have you ever had a fender bender on the freeway? When you call, they're like, is everyone okay? Yep, exchange insurance information. They don't even come out for that shit here. They don't care. It's too many people.
I'll say the one time, the first time my Acura got stolen and recovered, they later were like, the first time.
Where was this?
This was up in West Hollywood behind the Laugh Factory. And they...
Did you park in that little, where the Laugh Factory let you park? Or is this out on the street?
No, I lived behind the Laugh Factory. I lived in an apartment up the street behind there. And I just got the car, too. And they just took it right off the street, like within 11 days of
having... Did they break a window? How'd they do it?
No glass on the ground? I think those Acuras are just like, they're pretty slippery. You just slide
something
in there.
That's what you learn on.
Yeah, that's what you learn on. And they're... That's true. And then also that 95 was the number one most stolen car in the world.
Alphabetical order. You go Acura, BMW. Acura.
Honda is in Honda's there too. Because they rip it up for parts. Because they're like little street racers. It was a 5-speed.
So I used to work at a junkyard and we'd do some shady shit.
Did it have original rims?
No.
Ah.
Oh, aftermarket, huh?
Aftermarket. Gotcha.
What, you have Alpines on there?
I bought it off some kid from like La Jolla or something.
What year was it? Do you remember?
It was a 95. What year? Yeah.
A 95.
Was it 95?
No, hers is newer than that. I mean, it's in the 2000s.
No offense, Emily.
Yeah, no offense.
Well, this was just a couple months ago.
She's our guest, right?
Yeah, I'm sorry. It happened. But the first time it happened and got recovered a few months later, the LA Sheriff's Department sent me a notice that was like, you've been called, subpoenaed to come testify because we busted these people with your shit. I had a trunk full of like sketch costumes that they stole, and my shit ended up in some other stolen car.
Before they recovered it?
That time it was like next day. All three times it was like a day or two
later.
Three
times?
Yeah.
Okay, so you get it back. They subpoena you.
They subpoena me. I say, fuck it, I don't care, and I don't go. I didn't do anything. I'm just like the cops. I didn't go.
You didn't get a failure to appear subpoena.
I didn't. I don't know what happened.
I wouldn't fuck around with that. You probably still got a warrant. You don't get pulled over.
Whatever. I served jury duty on like I did my duty.
All right.
I did jury duty on some kind of like serial rapist case, and it was fucking 21 days long, and I did it.
And
so,
did you guys convict him?
I don't want to hear it. L.A. Yes, we did.
Serial rapist?
Yeah.
Good Lord.
It was horrible. Yeah, it was terrible, but I did it, and I don't want to hear about it. And then they tried to send me like a jury summons 3 weeks later, and I was like, fuck you, and I threw in the garbage.
Yeah.
What are they going to do?
I did that for years, threw my summons away.
Emily, over there!
He just jumped.
Your face.
It was right as the reality of saying this on the record was flashing through my mind that you did that. And I was like, wait, is this bad?
I'm with you. I did the same thing. I would throw them in the trash all the time. I learned that from Al Capone. He said, I refuse to be judged by a jury of my peers that are too stupid to get out of jury duty. Mm-hmm. And I was like, well, how do you get out? And they're like, it's a summons. Just say you never got it. And then you do that for a while. Then a big red subpoena one shows up. And you're like, I better go to court. So I get there. And they're like, yeah, we've sent you a bunch. I'm like, never got it. Mm-hmm. And I go, but by the way, it's a summons. It's not a subpoena. She goes, you're right, but you just don't do that with this. And I got stuck on a 5-week fucking drug, serious drug.
Listen, you case. Say summons, I say subpoena. You know what I mean?
That's what it ended up being.
I mean?
And then same thing with me, too. They sent me a summons, way too soon after that.
They're like, this dude will do it. They'll do it. And get them back in here.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I feel like sometimes in jury duty, they're just looking for people who are competent. You know, they're just looking for people who have enough. Because I feel like it's truth time. When people are getting out of it left and right, it's apparent that they're lying. So you're perjuring yourself. So if you're not doing that, you're going to end up in the box.
But the deeper you are which is where I was.
You just turned into.
That's what it is.
I know, but she goes, did you say I feel like it's truth time?
Yeah.
Write that down.
Kids, it's truth time. Everybody, come on.
That's why they call them judges. They're good at their job. I'm sorry. I'm on team judge today.
So
I support the system.
You say it was stolen three times.
It was stolen three times. So the next time it was stolen a few years later. By then, it was like not turning on if it was over 75 degrees out, and I'd have to pop start it, but nobody knew that, so I'd just do it all
you
over
had thick and you know how to it. Do it.
Yeah.
Good for you.
Thank I was lived
you.
On a hill.
Yeah, I lived on a hill, or if it happened at a gas station, I would just be like, I don't know what happened, and then three dudes would help me push it, and I'd pop start it. And then So that they found it real easily, real quickly after that, because it was like summer and they had it out in Northridge. And then they, but they wouldn't like total the car and just give me the money. They kept like breaking, they broke the ignition, they broke the, you know, took the CD player, whatever, fucked up the seats. And then the last time was a few days later after that. Stolen recovered.
It had to be the same fucking people.
I think it was. I think it was
days
like
later.
Yeah, in Los Feliz, they're just like, oh, this is that Acura. Mm-hmm. How hilarious would it be if we took it again back out to Northridge, you know? And then they find it. They bring it. Finally, it's like a total loss. And they bring it down to Northeast Tow downtown. I have to go down and still go take all my personal belongings out. So when you do that, you have to get on a little cart with this little dude, Javier, at the front. It was like a little open air cart. And he rolls you back because it's all the way in the back. No wheels. Had no wheels, no wheel bearings.
Oh, wow.
It was completely stripped. So because it doesn't move, it's in the way back. He takes you on a little cart. You're just riding out there.
He like an airport luggage cart.
Yeah. Yeah. He doesn't say anything. I get out there. I take out all my personals.
Hacker again.
Same, this chick again. I take out all my personals, which again, with the car was full again with like sketch props. So it was just like a hand and like a
a hand.
Hella wigs. Hella wigs and like a couple prop guns. That was real. I remember there was like a hand taped around a prop gun and I have to put it all on top of the car and take it so he can photograph it for the insurance company so there's no discrepancy or claim. And I put it all out. There's like half burritos, all this shit. He's just like, all right, lady. He takes the picture. We get back on the cart with my stuff. We start driving back out. But in the tow yard at Northeast Tow downtown, I look over and I was like, is that a UFO? There's a UFO in the tow yard down there. There's a little flying saucer in the tow yard. Yeah, for real. And I was like, I go, Javier, is that a UFO? And he's like, he goes, yeah, it's make believe though. like, you really thought you needed a clip? Okay, thank you. Touche. It's make believe. But I kind of feel like the whole car, that Acura thing, there was some kind of weird cosmic possession because I was bad when I was a kid and I had bad luck with cars and bad luck with taking care of cars and hitting cars and it was what I got.
And hitting cars. I look like she could keep going deeper, you know, and stealing and selling them
crashing
for parts,
stolen cars into and, other cars
and murder and just a lot of things as a kid. I was
a lot
misguided.
Of bad shit. Were you were you into drugs as a kid, especially being in the hate and all that stuff?
I was not. I wouldn't say I was like into drugs, but I was definitely a risk taker because I was.
But you
just
weren't good with weed.
Kid.
So what did you like? If you liked anything.
I have stepkids. How do you guys talk about this with kids? I don't know how to.
I mean, here's the deal. They're all going to hear this shit eventually.
Yeah,
so there's no lying.
True.
At this point, you just got to be honest about what you did because they'll be like, I listened to Crab Feast episode 2 something and heard about your fucking shit.
It's true.
My grandpa slept in the kitchen.
Weirdly, yeah. During that time in San Francisco, I ate a lot of acid.
A lot? What's a lot?
Like, too much, like enough where it was
like a sandwich.
Like it was recreational. Like you would think of that as something as being more of a journey, and it was like.
But that's like the home of it up there,
exactly.
At least in the United States. I mean, that's Timothy Leary and that whole crew up there, right?
Yeah, yeah. Well, and I had about the way
is that right?
It
is
ended,
it Timothy Leary, right?
Yeah,
is that it right? I feel like is there an O'Leary? Who is it?
Timothy Leary was at Harvard, right? When he was experimenting with it.
One of them was very prominent in acid. Who was it? Say it.
Anton LaVey. No, I'm kidding. Oh. I'm kidding. This is satanic.
Bobby Fischer.
Bobby Fischer.
A lot of people don't know that.
Played great old chess, man.
Well, you think he was dialed in, man?
No, Anton LaVey is like the king. He wrote the Satanic Bible, and he is up in San Francisco. I was making a joke that I got in with some weird shit, but it wasn't that weird. I did stop taking acid when a kid from LA, a transfer student, came up, and it was an after prom party, and everybody ate some acid, and then everyone was like, we take it all the time, so we're going to take 2.5 hits to start off, and he ate it, and was like, me too, and he ate it, and then a couple minutes later, he was like, how much farther are we going to go, man?
Whoa. That fast?
All the way, Jim!
He didn't like that answer. We were like, yeah, all the way! And he freaked out, and it was bad. And then we had to call the paramedics and run from the paramedics that time,
You've run from the paramedics twice in your life.
I have. It's true. But it was like a bad, it was a bad thing to watch. It wasn't good. Some football player tried to knock him out. It was bad.
Just to put him out of his misery?
Yeah, just to be like, shut up. I mean, not like in a violent way. In a he thought that was a good idea. Way, because the kid was freaking out. So incredibly violent, incredibly violent, and not a good idea. But he wasn't like trying to create. He wasn't trying to cause him pain on purpose. He was causing him pain. I'm not defending. You know what I'm saying? It seems like a weird mentality that you can.
Was this story? Was this an acid story right here?
No, that was. That was mushrooms.
Shrooms?
Yeah.
What did you try first?
She says everything so in. Oh, no. That, no, that was like, mushrooms. No, that was when I painted my room.
You have stepchildren?
I How do. Old? They're 12.
Oh, they're going to be listening.
I'm sorry, kids. This is nothing that I encourage. I think you guys are much more cared for and loved. Not that my parents didn't love me.
Meanwhile, your dad's laying on that couch in the kitchen listening right now. Like, my, this fucking
my dad's getting blown up by Crafty's followers on Twitter. No, it's not that it wasn't love, but I was.
Because this is going to be some bullshit.
It was risk-taking behavior from not being watched. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, my kids are watched. So
did you like shrooms better than acid? Acid better than shrooms?
I just wouldn't do acid because it's like very chemical and man-made. At this point, I do believe in shrooms for purposes.
Well, Jay's done. I've never done acid. I've done shrooms 1.5 times, I'd really say, because we just didn't have enough. But people have always told me.
I'll go short, man.
People have always told me acid is a meat and shrooms are a potato. That's how it's been described to me before. Huh. And I'm like, still doesn't make any. I've had the potato and I'm like, that was no goddamn potato.
That was not a potato. No.
See, I'm the same with you. I've done both and I only did acid once and I can't believe I did it.
Well,
based on how many, what you said your experience was, but like for me, it was the same thing. There's always room for a mistake in a man-made thing, whereas mushrooms, it's going to be what it is, and I just felt safer with it.
Yeah, no, I agree. I don't think that there's any reason to chemically recreate that experience.
Yeah.
And that time with the mushrooms was like, this is the thing, as I try to say, it wasn't the mushrooms. The trees did talk. I'm telling you.
I know what you're telling.
Bro, I'm telling you.
Did they have mouths and talk, or was it just voices in the air? How did they speak?
So we were, whatever, my old friend and I, we were like trying to mourn the passing of the BC boy passed away. We walked up, we ate
MCA,
some mushrooms.
Yeah.
MCA. We ate
That's
some
not
mushrooms.
That long ago.
It wasn't that long ago. We walked up to the Greek that night. We ate some mushrooms and we were just kind of tripping out. And then we walked back down. There are these big, huge, 200-year-old trees down the middle of Vermont as it comes down.
It's me, MCA. Don't.
Were they rapping?
We were definitely looking for some meaning. No, they weren't rapping. All that happened was we were walking. I had a profound thought, which was, and it was helpful for me in terms of like understanding anxiety and purpose. I was like, oh, the trees know not why they are. The trees just be. So they're not trying to define their purpose.
Trees.
They're just growing towards the sun, and one day they'll provide shade, or they will be firewood, or they will be a house, or whatever.
Pencil, paper,
they know not why they are. They just be. And I was like, that's amazing. She and Dawn was like, and we were holding hands or arms or whatever, and she was like, do you think that their roots underneath there are like holding hands? And I was like, yeah. And right as I was thinking about it, really like to answer seriously, yes, I do. We both heard like, it was like a didgeridoo, but on like a lost scale. Do you understand? The trees talked and they answered. Not only did they do that, we looked around and we were like, it was in the air. It was in the night. It was in the ground. It was in the trees. It was a sound that was not coming from a source. And they answered. And we looked around and like, the only explanation is that there was like some 17-year-old kid in some like balcony above us being like, these shroomed out.
Mm-hmm. These clowns.
Look at these idiots.
You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to play my didgeridoo.
Give me my didgeridoo.
over this PA system.
But now you've noticed because starting up a didgeridoo takes a second. You know what I mean?
You sure something wasn't coming from the Greek? Was the Greek empty? That was it dark?
Greek
that
never
night?
Happened.
Bob McFerrin was in that
the,
line.
The weird thing about.
He's all on his chest. They're like, that's no a tree. Rip.
He's wearing a tree hat, just hanging on the tree. No, the weird thing about that was we were going to go. She randomly that week texted me and was like, we should go to the Beastie Boys at the Greek. And I was like, yeah, I'm in. And then not only had she misheard somebody, and that was never happening.
Yeah, because I had tickets to the Bowl.
Yeah.
They were coming to the Hollywood Bowl.
Yeah.
I think it was the Bowl they were coming to.
Well,
before he passed, and then he got sick. And
so there was a concert scheduled? Because what ended up happening there was she was like, I misheard, and there was never a concert scheduled.
I don't know if it was the Bowl or the Greek, but there was definitely a concert. I had tickets. We were scheduled. It was a scheduled show. We were going to go, and then he got sick. So it was a while. I mean, unfortunately, it wasn't a long time before he passed, but I feel like it was months from that. I mean, it wasn't like it just, we had tickets and then a couple days later he passed, but there was a show that was scheduled.
Interesting. Because the way it played out for us is she heard there was a show that Friday.
So what happens
we were going to go. Yeah.
Yeah.
We were going to go. And then as it turned out, she had misheard her manager at work or something. And there was never a show that night, but it was the week he died. It was like two days later.
Just to confirm what I've heard. The girl who misheard her boss heard a tree talk. I just want to make sure I have everything.
The trees talked, man. They talked. No,
so they answered back to what?
I wonder if the trees hold hands underneath there. And but the thing is that it was such a strange like vibration and sound that we looked around, we grabbed each other, and we looked around us, and then it happened again, and we wish for the rest of our lives that we had stayed in place and
talked. Yeah,
I don't know.
Did you run?
We ran for our lives. We were so fucking scared. It was the
She saw a paramedic coming.
Yeah,
let's get the hell out of here.
I see red
between
lights.
The trees and this guy with the fucking stethoscope.
There were never any paramedics. I was just running the whole time.
Well, you said it helped you understand anxiety and all that, and you told a story, or you at least have a story about curing anxiety.
Yeah, I mean, this does involve shrooms too, but just a little bit.
Oh, okay.
Because there,
are you on shrooms right now?
Oh, why are all these shroom stories? I swear I have other stories, but a friend of mine has a comedy festival once a year in a place called Healdsburg, and it started real small. I've done it all.
Where is that?
Healdsburg. It's one of my favorite towns in the world.
Where is it?
It's right next to Sonoma. You guys float the river up there.
Yeah,
from Dry Creek Country Store is my favorite place in the world to drink a beer on the front porch in Healdsburg.
It's incredible. It's one of my favorite places too, especially for this experience. And he's from there, so he does a really good job of creating this like magical fucking time where it'll be like shows Friday, Saturday. I think, yeah, shows Friday, Saturday. No, shows Thursday, Friday, packed out in all the tasting rooms and then in all the basically the vineyards and stuff in their houses there. And then we go Saturday, float the river. He gets everybody from there to drive us all up. His dad used to do it. His dad passes. It was an amazing kind of family town, hometown experience. They drive us all up to the top, drop us off. Everyone eats a little bit of chocolate, tiny bit. Then his friends float down the river from some other house with a big ass swan raft full of a tote full of beers or whatever. And we all, there's 40 of us, and we all just float. And it was the second time. It was it's never not profound. And I think I was going through a couple of years there where I was really trying to box out my anxiety or deal with it or get to the bottom of it or figure it out or do something, because it was overwhelming. And I was looking at it dead in the face. And this trip up there was never not profound. When you get a little mushrooms and you go out and float with your friends, and then you're like, oh, this is it. This river float. This river is analogous.
What did the river say?
The river said no. No, but that actually did happen on the river, where it's it becomes an analogy for just how you can always, you'll get stuck in reeds or whatever, but you'll always get out. That you don't ever, there's no reason to swim backwards ever, and that you're always okay. With the current, you're always okay. You're always kind of moving, and even if you get stuck
inside,
there
she goes swimming backwards again.
She goes swimming backwards.
A lot of people drown and feel differently about that shit.
Well, there goes my story. I now have anxiety again for the rest of my life. No, there was one time, though, that I was, like, trying to explain this to my friend Kevin Comey, who's a hilarious comic. You should look him up. But I was like, Kev, look. I looked down, and there's, like, all the little – you can see all of the life where it's, like, at the bottom. There's these little organisms kind of floating up in the fish that are getting them. And there's, like, these tendrils of, like, organic life. And then it all moves down, and it all connects, and it all makes sense. And I'm like, you see? And he goes – too much, and he pushed my raft away. He's like, too much right now, too much. Pushes my raft away. But I had that profound experience one time, and it's year two, and I was like, it's never not really clear to me after that experience, like, what life is and how to navigate it. And then I get to the airport. We were flying to New York from Oakland after that festival, and I didn't have my purse. I left it in Healdsburg, and I just had to straight up talk my way through Homeland Security.
How?
Exactly.
This is how that long ago? How many years ago?
This was like two, three years ago.
Holy shit. You did it? So I did what? It. You're saying no ID, no nothing?
Nothing.
No,
I didn't have a person.
Now, luckily, I was on shrooms. And
you didn't have Tanya's old ID or whatever hell it was?
That came up for me because...
You didn't remember
it's
it.
Tanya.
That came up for me because what ends up happening is, for whatever reason, they decided they were going to let me do it. And this dude, this official, comes out from Homeland Security and is like, all right, listen, I'm going to get someone on the phone. You don't get to know who. I'm going to ask you a series of questions and you have to answer accurately. And he starts asking.
What do you mean you don't get to know who? What's
I don't
that
know.
Mean?
But
he's calling like a family member or something.
No, I mean, yeah, maybe.
Tara Miller, man.
He's calling Tara Miller. I think it was the feds or something. I don't know. And then also my boyfriend was, at the time, fiance now, was trying to like pipe in when I got stumped at one point about an address or something.
What is she fucking trying to get the phone line? What is it called?
I'm going to use
emergency call? Yeah. What is that?
I'm going to use my line or whatever.
Yeah, lifeline.
And they were like, do not speak. They shut
I'm on
down.
A phone
and
a
like,
friend.
Back it up.
I want a phone a
I
friend.
I want a phone a friend. My boyfriend, he's right here. And
your boyfriend?
Didn't
we'll
let him.
Fiance.
One day. I Figured saw it. I was on strings. I saw what saw the future.
So they call someone and they don't tell you who.
They call someone. They don't tell you who. They ask you a series of questions. And what ended up happening, they go, when was the last time you left the country? And I start panicking because the last time I thought I left the country was to go to Cuba in 96. And it was illegal at the time. And I had already gotten the Tara ID. And so I was always afraid that I was on a blacklist of some kind. I was sure of it. But maybe enough time had passed. That all I knew is that in the moment, I thought my mouth was going to say Cuba, and then I was just going to kick him in the dick and run
onto a plane. They'll never find her. Season 7, see.
Sit in the paradise.
Yeah, here's her right. This is, we got our dad on the phone right now. The guy sleeps in the kitchen.
Never met anybody in my life that slept in the kitchen.
Oh, Bruce Gregory's gonna get it. Is he gonna?
Hey, wait. So you just when the hell did you go to Cuba? Who'd you go to Cuba with?
I went to Cuba with some friends. I went to Cuba with a group called Global Exchange in '96. It was actually a memorial trip after a friend, like a San Francisco kind of character kid, local person. He got killed randomly, random act of violence. He had done some solidarity work in Cuba, and then like his parents were like, you know what? It's not. The person, it was not the gangbanger who just kind of walked up randomly and was on drugs and like was like, what's that you claim? And he was like, I don't. And then he shot him. It was a very sad story, but the parents were such like so sort of forward thinking that they're like, you know what, it's the system, we just need to love more, do more, and try to be better and fucking take care of people and not let them turn violent or whatever. And so they organized this trip as just a memorial. We really did just have fun, but we also brought like supplies and it was all.
So you did make it.
Gave everybody shrooms.
We gave everybody shrooms.
Do you remember the questions they asked you other than that?
Fidel. That it was that and like last known addresses and then the one before that and the one before that. So it was like they went back three or four and it starts to get foggy.
You're like,
alma
who's
maters.
The 35th president of the United States?
Yeah. What is happening? I just dropped my ring. Oh, shit.
That's not a good sign.
That's not a good sign.
That is not a good sign.
It's a very, don't say that. It's a beautiful sign.
Trees are back.
Beautiful sign. It's a beautiful sign. I did think that my ring, my, I'll tell you this very briefly. When I, when my fiance proposed, he got, we were in a, like a big deep soaking hot tub, and he gave me a
What are you in that hot tub? It's always coming back to the hot tub. You started in one, and you look, you got engaged in one.
He hands me a glass of champagne.
Did he get out too, or did he let you stay in?
When?
In the hot tub. Your mom got out.
My mom got out. No, we stayed in. We were in the whole time.
He drowned getting down on one knee. I said, there's no reason to swim back.
Hey, you know what?
Like, yes, there is. Yes, there is. Goddamn. I'm stuck in the reeds.
The weeds will, they'll set you free. No, they're not. He gave me a glass of champagne. And I was sitting there, and he got in. We were sitting there talking, and I was like, took a sip and I put it on the windowsill. And then, like, 5 minutes later, we're just chatting, and I look up and I was like, wow, look at how the bubbles are making like a perfect circle. That's crazy. It looks like a galaxy. That's insane.
He's like, man, this is shrooms.
Here we go again with this chick.
No, it was the ring. He was just waiting for me to see
it. He was in the bottom of the glass?
Yeah, the whole time. Poor guy. Just sat there.
The galaxy is in your glass the whole time. That's what you said.
He's passed out in the hot tub because he's
sweating to death over there. Like, God damn. Do you fucking see it?
Yeah.
Can I sip that champagne?
I'm going to go take a nap on this bed in the kitchen, if you don't mind.
This bed in the kitchen. I made sure the suite had a kitchen so we could do it proper.
Just, yeah, you could do it right.
Oh, no.
Well, we are very close to getting there. You do have one more. Do you mind telling this one?
What? Oh, that, yeah, yeah.
Is that all right?
Yeah, of course. All right. It's kind of almost just like one of my...
Yeah, right.
God. Poor kids. Kids, I don't do drugs. Don't do
anymore.
Them.
I love that you think they're that... Are they that into your career?
No, but I mean, at what
point... They will hear this.
They'll hear this. They'll be some whatever point. Age they hear yeah, it at. Yeah. And I'm talking to them then. And asking them
kidding.
To be responsible human beings and talk to me if they feel like they need to experiment.
Very
or,
defensive. They should come to you and talk to you.
Talk to me. It. Yeah, for sure.
And in case you're wondering, kids, she's holding.
No. You know who has some? My stepmom.
It's like, are the deans of the colleges they want to go to one day listening to my podcast? This is actually one of my favorite stories in general, but it's not even, I don't know if it's my story. This is, my parents came out of the woods in the early 80s. They were just like full blown hippies. They lived out in a commune kind of situation up north, and they had all these.
Thought it would work out.
Fucking trees told us. They said, talk to me for voice.
Said, hey, I'm going to relocate. You might live in a kitchen, but you'll be all right.
Trees said, this is going to be a marina one day, and it wasn't.
I wish that was the fight, like when you were 18, like, I've talked more of these trees in the last 3 years than I have you, you son of a fucking.
I'll say something about that commune or that area. They all went in and bought property up north in this area out by where like the Russian River dumps out at the sea.
Oh,
but you know where they almost bought property at that time?
Healdsburg.
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
They did not.
Did you see Captain Fantastic?
Yeah. God, it's so good. Dope. It's so good.
Yeah.
It's a very good movie. I think it was like billed as this wacky comedy and you're watching and you're like, no, this is just a very good movie.
Yeah.
But yeah, there is a lot of that.
How long
culture.
Did they live out there?
Before my brother was born, so they built their first house by hand, and like my brother was probably born a year later or something like that. And they were out in that house for like 3 years, and then they bought that property. They still have, my mom still has that property up north.
Wow.
The other one where she's neighbors with Bob Butters, who's one of their best friends from that era.
You are not
gonna
believe
it.
Bobby, right? Bobby Butters!
Get in here, man. Jazz in here, Bobby.
Bring your hatchet. We gotta put an addition on over here.
Bob, did you say to put an addition on?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You. That was intuitive as fuck because he's an old artist that stayed in the woods, and you go to his property and he carved the tree out into like an eye and another tree as you come into the property, it's a nose and an ear. The whole property is full of just mannequins and car bodies. Yes, exactly. And he's out there 30 years just adding on to his house.
How does he make a living?
He's an artist. He used to make prints, and I think he has a few like somewhat famous prints where it's like it looks like a fox but it's really three sparrows or whatever.
You know that old lady face looks like a young face, you look a different way? That was me. Bobby Butters.
Bobby Butters. But he had prints that sold, and he's been an artist for a long time. I don't know how.
That's awesome.
He's just one of the most interesting people I've ever met. He has a son with Emily Whittlesey, who's my namesake, and the son's name is Albion Moonlight Butters. That's real. And like,
little cousin named Peanut.
He was
nephew named Almond.
We went up there not that long ago, my brother and I, and he was like, he went to go see him, and he just kind of comes out of the darkness like, "You still smoke the waggy tobacco?" And you're just like, ugh. And his voice is so low. And
this is my niece over here, dairy free.
I can't see that for sure. Dairy free. I don't know. My niece dairy free. He was always like out there in this land of just like incredibly artistic, collectible, weird shit, and adding on to his house. And they were just out there after my parents left. They just lived out there. So there clearly was a culture, and they'd party out there and party out in the woods and like had friends and go around to each other's properties. But at one point there was a wild stallion running around up there that was like trampling people's gardens. And the way he tells the story is that it was like this real nuisance. And it was like a pestilent that everybody was like, we got to get that stallion under control. And so he decided one night, they were out partying outside, and he looked down in the ravine and he saw the stallion staring back. So he walked down.
This Black slow, Stallion like, part three right here.
Part three. Bob Butters mounts, rides again. And then he walks down to the ravine, and he kind of like quietly creeps up on it, makes eye contact. It's like, you know, soothsaying this horse, and he pets it on the neck, and he grabs the mane and just hops on it bareback and takes off. He starts riding it through the darkness in the woods.
Bob Butters. Peter! Someone!
He's like, he says he's gonna tame this stallion. That was his whole plan, and he didn't.
Had he ever done it before?
People, so. If you've never been around a horse, like people think that the horses are they're like at the,
giant.
They're like they're a tank. They're nothing but muscle.
Yeah, they're dinosaurs and prey animals, yes. And they're spooked.
Like a 95 Honda.
Like a 95 Honda. And it was the thing bucked out so hard, couldn't get him off, and then kept running towards some kind of like barbed wire fence that he sure that he knew what the plan, apparently in Bob's retelling, he knew what the plan was, and so he saw what the horse was doing. He grabbed him around the neck and like wrapped himself around the neck. And when the horse got to the wall, it like broke hard. And dipped its head all the way down underneath it to throw him. But Bob held on to its neck and like scraped the ground, came back up. And they both stood there for a second. He got off. And then he
slapped that horse in the face.
Punched it in the fucking face.
Did he?
Yep.
Did he real?
Yep. Punched it in the
bitch, you don't mess with Bob Butters.
I'm Bob Butters, motherfucker.
You don't mess with Parquet.
Holy shit.
So that's why that story is called "Is This Animal Cruelty?"
And what happened? Did that horse ever fuck with anyone?
No,
again?
They never saw the stallion again. This is, you know, he tells tales, but in his story, he solved the problem of the pestilent.
Sure did. Man, that is fantastic.
Punch it in the face.
I mean, I need a new hip, but still, I got that horse.
Well, this has been a lot of fucking fun. Thank you so much for coming on here and
Thanks
sharing all your stories. Will you one more time plug your social media and all that good stuff,
Emily
please?
Maya Mills at everything. Really,
at everything.
At
.com, Twitter, Instagram.
Facebook.com. Yeah, all of it. All of it.
If you're amongst the trees, tell them Emily said what up.
Tell them I said what up.
Great to
you
have
guys
you on.
Get it.
Of course.
We get it.
Of course.
Believe me.
As always, jlarsoncomedy.com, jlarsoncomedy on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and Pinterest.
Laid them all out
Thanks
there, huh? RyanSickler.com, RyanSickler on all social media. We'll talk to y'all next Tuesday.